Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent, is on the streets of Philly where it's being described as a furnace.
The Convention Hall, Philadelphia, July 15th, 1948. Inside, a three-ring circus called the Democratic Convention. The city is a furnace.
That was 1948, and delegates and reporters had only their imaginations to tell them the temperature. Now the three-digit Fahrenheit blues is right there on everybody's smartphone. The Democrats have some divisions to mend, just as Republicans did this time last week. Michelle Obama will be speaking tonight, along with Clinton's former rival, Bernie Sanders, who has a lot of very angry supporters ready to walk through fire for him. Todd Zwillick has already seen them walking through the fiery, summer-scalded streets of the city of brotherly love.
John, those pro-Bernie protesters were out on the streets yesterday, 95 degrees or more, a big crowd of Bernie supporters gathered in the middle of the city. They marched all the way down to FDR Park, which is adjacent to the police cordon at the convention venue. Mike Michelson is one of them. He's from Erie, Pennsylvania.
I have an old school bus that I use as an RV, and it says Bernie or Bust on it, the Bernie or Bust bus.
John, Mike builds locomotives for General Electric in Erie. He's a union man, and he counts himself firmly, never Hillary.
Never. I her husband ruined my job, my life. When he voted for NAFTA, I lost my job for 2 years. TPP was the gold standard. Then it wasn't bad. Now she's back on it. It's disgusting. I can't trust her. I would never vote for her.
He sounds pretty emotional, Todd. Does he reflect any constituency within the hall there in Philly?
John, there's no doubt that he does, and here's the point. It's impossible to know how big that constituency is, and more importantly, how big that constituency is out in the country when people vote in November. John, the leaked emails are at the front of everyone's mind this week, of course, and they promise to weigh heavily on the convention all this week. They show DNC officials very dismissive, in some cases against Bernie's candidacy, and talking about how to undermine it in some cases, including with a strategy to question whether Bernie Sanders is really Jewish or actually an atheist. So far, there's no evidence that the email conversations were ever put into practice in the primary. But for this crowd, it confirms a narrative. The primary was rigged and Hillary stole it. Dave Pillmeyer was a protester, and John, he was looking at his phone during the march and broke the news to some people around him.
Schultz resigned. Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
You just heard that?
Yeah, I just heard it. From back there, Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned. I just heard it. That's awesome. Maybe that's the start for ending corruption.
Mr. Pillmeyer there, of course, announcing what will now be the resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz after this convention. Does she take the rap for these emails completely, or is this something that goes higher than Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Well, there is no way for it to go higher than Debbie Wasserman Schultz unless these voters decide that as a result of this, they'll never vote for Hillary, right? She's the one who's trying to be president. That's the only way it goes higher. A lot of people, I don't know how many in this crowd, they're like Mike Michelson, right? Never, ever Hillary. But John, everyone in the crowd is also aware, and many of them don't like the question. Bernie Sanders himself has endorsed Hillary. And as angry as they are, Sanders himself said on Sunday, repeating that despite the emails, he's still backing Hillary. I talked to Lewis Rawlinson. He drove all the way to Philly from Chicago.
I am admittedly not Bernie or Bust. I would be open to the idea of voting for Clinton if she really is clear about what she's going to support, sticks to the platform, which I think is a really positive thing. I would be open to voting her for her, but I would also be open to voting for Jill Stein. So I would need to have a long, hard think and explore my options.
It's a choice between Hillary and Jill Stein. That's pretty interesting, but that's got to be a tiny minority.
Well, a lot of people said Jill Stein, but I think the point about Lewis Rawlinson here is that he's gettable, right? Hillary could convince him. In this particular crowd, I found relatively few Lewis's, people who said they were gettable. Most people in this crowd, the protesters, are holding out hope that some kind of floor fight will convince the superdelegates that the whole nomination needs to be reversed and flip them to Bernie's side. Now, that's unlikely, of course, and many of them say, if not, they will in fact vote Green Party and Jill Stein. But behind it all, John, is the bottom line that no one likes, the one that Bernie Sanders has drawn himself. Hillary Clinton is the only candidate who can realistically stop Donald Trump from winning the White House. So accept the concessions that Bernie Sanders has extracted from Hillary on minimum wage and student debt and other issues, and get behind her. John, I found Laura Slitt in the 30th Street train station. She'd just gotten off the platform from her home in New Hampshire, and she had just heard the news that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been sidelined.
It's tokenism. If she's being a scapegoat for the deeper, more insidious machine that's operating, it's something, but it's tokenism, and it's not nearly enough.
John, Laura at first in our conversation described herself as never voting for Hillary, no matter what. But then the more we talked, the more you heard the dilemma creep through.
They couldn't. I'm not going to hold my nose and say I'm going to vote. I don't. That's the big question mark that people who are unwavering supporters of Bernie Sanders are going to have to be faced with. Right now, the ground has fallen away from our feet, and we're not really sure what's going to happen, and because we trust him so much, we're waiting to get our cues from him and only him. I'm going to see what happens over the next couple of days, and then I'm going to try to figure out how to proceed.
Well, Todd, this race really is the difference between which party's stay-at-home voters is bigger. Will the Republicans force more people to stay at home than the Democrats? It seems to me that the Democrats don't have anything like the identity crisis that the Republicans did a week ago today.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it's smaller. Their identity crisis is smaller. They are more unified than the Republicans last week, but not completely unified, John. There's talk of a possible walkout of Bernie delegates during the voting this week on the convention floor. And look, nobody knows exactly how many Laura's or Mike Michelson's, the never Hillary guy from Erie, Pennsylvania, there are out there a world away from Philadelphia. And these diehard supporters and many others around the country and in the Clinton campaign are going to be watching carefully, John.
Todd Zwillig, Takeaway Washington correspondent in Philadelphia all week for the Democratic National Convention.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.